I want what you have, and I don't want you to have it. Envy is the sin of Cain, and it is the sin of the Pharisees as they nail Jesus to the cross. And when he conquers the grave, part of what he conquers is the sin of envy against him. When I was in college, I had a roommate. We started out being rooming together my sophomore year. Gwen and I were great friends. We roomed together our sophomore year, our junior year, and then I became an RA my senior year, and she roomed with me then. During my junior year, I started dating a guy who I will call the tortoise. He was very slow at deciding that he really liked me. I really liked him, and I wish he would hurry up. The beginning of my senior year, Gwen started dating a guy who we'll call the hare. He wasted no time. There was an incredible sense of expectation as the roses would come to the house, and as the phone calls would come, and they started talking about getting married, and I would look at my tortoise, and I would say, oh, I wish it was a hare. And then I would say, and I don't know that I really want Gwen to have a hair. That's not fair. One day, as an RA, I walked in on a Sunday afternoon when the hairs were not supposed to be in the dorm, and my friend's friend was there. And rather than giving her a warning, I simply reported her. I'm an RA, for heaven's sakes. I need to do my job. At the end of the year, Gwen broke up with the hare, and I became engaged to the tortoise, and have been married to him for 25 years. But my relationship with Gwen was never the same again. Envy is the sin that kills. And it kills in ways that are so subtle. And I was really delighted to be able to talk to this group about envy, because it's not particularly the sin that anyone's interested in if they're not serious about Christian community. But if you are serious about community, you need to be serious about envy. It's a sin of proximity. It's a sin that you don't commit this sin if the person isn't right in front of you. Danielle did a fabulous job just now of illustrating what envy actually is like. It's, oh, I saw her in upper room tonight, and the person in educational psych, and the person in history. Today, it's the people that I know, the people that I see, the people that are just enough like me, that if I just had what they had, that'd be great. Now, jealousy, in some ways, is an okay thing. The scriptures talk about God being a jealous God. I want what you have. What is he saying? I want your love. I want your adoration. I want you. And jealousy for us can have the kind of aspirational quality of, I really want to rise. I want to become that person. I remember when I was in college, I'm a piano player. And I worked at a camp for a summer with a woman who was not just a piano player, she was a worshiper. And when she played the piano, people met Jesus. When I played the piano, you heard notes. And I can remember sitting listening to her going, how does she do that? But I didn't envy her. I really wanted what she had. And it grew a hunger in my heart for something that was there that I went for a good couple of years praying for and asking that the Lord would make me a worshiper as well. That's a good part. But envy is when you want to kill it in the other person. Envy is restless. It's dis-ease. There's a proverb that talks about tranquility being... let's see if I get it. Exactly right here. A tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot. And that's what envy does. It makes us rot. It's restless. And here's the other part of it. It's utterly irrational. Envy is the only deadly sin that doesn't do anybody any good ever. Think about it. Pride has got some positive, at least, experiences to it. So does anger. So does greed. So does gluttony. So does lust. Envy is not happy for the person who's envying or the person who is being envied. It's utterly irrational. It makes absolutely no sense. But here's the thing about envy. It is murderous. It is the sin of Cain. It's the sin of looking at what his brother brought to the Lord and going, I don't want you to have the Lord's blessing. I want it, and I don't want you to have it, and I'll kill you for it. Have you ever wondered why envy is in the lists in the scriptures with greed and lust and all of the things that we think about as being sins? Why a thing like gossip and envy? Why is it there? Because here's what it does. It murders reputations. If I envy you, I murder your reputation. I kill you without making one move toward you physically. And it happens all the time. Nobody's asked me yet on this campus why on earth I teach on the seven deadly sins. I've been waiting for someone to ask, so is this like a pastime of yours to think about the seven deadly sins? Several years ago, I was over at Northern Seminary, and the dean asked me to teach a course on conflict in the church. And I had all sorts of ideas, and I finally just said, well, you know, if I was to teach a class on conflict in the church, I'd probably teach a class on the seven deadly sins. And he leaned back and said, the seven deadly sins in the church taught in a Baptist seminary. I like it. I walked out the door, and I had a sudden moment of panic because, frankly, I knew nothing about the seven deadly sins. But I had been through three church splits in 5 years, and I was sick and tired of it. And I was tired not just of what everybody else was doing. I was tired of, why do I not see what destroys community until it is so far gone that I can't do anything about it? And that's when I started to study sin. And I found a language that we just have lost, a language that matters, not because we want to go around beating ourselves up, but because if we cannot repent of it, if we can't recognize it to repent of it, the Lord can't set us free from it. And the other thing is, if we can't recognize it, the devil has a heyday with us. And there is nothing he has a heyday more in the church with than envy. It starts often like this. I really like you. I like what you have. You're my friend. I like all of your good qualities. And then it moves to, well, I really would like to have some of those qualities. And then it's, I don't want you to have them. And pretty soon, rather than you being my friend, you're under the microscope. And I will find everything critical about you that I can find. And frankly, if you turn a microscope on any one of us, you can paint us pretty dastardly, can't you? We can look at each other through the eyes of love, or we can look at each other through the eyes of envy, and you find two radically different people when you look through those eyes. I've often thought that this is what David is talking about in Psalm 55, when he says this, his speech was as smooth as butter, yet war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Have you been a person like that? Have you known people like that? One of the classic descriptions of envy is it's the evil eye. It's the eye that looks with hatred and malice at another person. The description I want to use is a description I've been using all week of a decor of a prison. And here's the decor of envy. It's a gallery of pictures around a room where all the faces have been slashed. Envy is so compulsive. When you are caught in envy, you can't stop thinking about the person. You it's a terrible sin in its compulsivity. You go round and around and around, and it makes you sick. And frankly, it makes the person you envy sick as well. When Paul talks about the flaming darts of the evil one, there isn't a way that those flaming darts come through a human soul for another faster than through the sin of envy. And if you are hit by envy's darts, it is paralyzing, it is confusing, it is fearful. You want to run and hide, and you're not even quite sure why. It happens to leaders. It happens to friends. It happens in families. It probably happens at Judson's campus. So how do you kill the sin of envy? Let me take it out of the college scene for just a minute and put it in perspective. I had a woman come to me. She was in her late 50s, early 60s when I was working at a church one time. It was the week before Christmas, and she said to me, "I have this friend. She's got 4 kids and a husband, and they're going to have a lovely Christmas together, and I am going to spend my Christmas by myself. And I hate her. I hate what she has. I don't want her to have it." Now, I could have answered her in lots of different ways. I could have said, "Well, I'm going to call this woman and have her invite you over for dinner." But here's what I said. "You know what I think you should do? I think you should go home on Christmas Day, and when you wake up in the morning, bless her. Pray that she has a fabulous day with her family, that this is the best Christmas they ever had." And she said, "I can't do it." I said, "No, you can't. But the Lord can help you do it. You can kill envy. But the only way you kill envy is by suffocating it in blessing. And just as the Lord blesses us, so we need to bless each other. It is such a, when I love Jesse's voice, part of the beauty of Jesse's voice comes into me. But if I hate Jesse's voice, I don't gain anything, and neither does Jesse. So as I don't have anything much more I want to say tonight, other than just to say this, as we continue to worship together, and as we think, I know one of the songs we are singing is about the blood of Jesus. It occurs to me that you have Jesus nailed to a cross, and it's envy that nails him there. But by his stripes we are healed. By his blood we are made clean. And if you are recognizing that you are an envier, recognize that Jesus forgives you like he forgives the ones who nailed him to the cross. And if you know that you are one who has been envied, know that he broke the poison. He broke the back of envy on the cross. And we don't have to live in fear. And we can learn to live in blessing of each other. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love your people, that you love your bride, the church, that you love Christian community, that you hate this work of the enemy. And I pray, Lord, that whether we are struggling with envy, or whether we are struggling with being envied, that you would exchange the poison of that envy for the power of your blood to set us free. We thank you, Lord, that you are mighty to save, and we are grateful. Amen.